Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Let me speak to the elephant in the room, first of all. We have a 500-seat auditorium here. And it's usually just bustling with activity and peoples from all walks of life. And I love preaching. And right now, we are trying to do the best we can with what we have and getting the gospel out. And 2 weeks ago, we limited it to 250 people, like the governor said. This last week, we limited it to 50. We broke up into a couple of different areas, and we limited it to 50. And this morning, and the governor dropped it a little bit more. I want to caveat that by saying this so everybody knows this, though. If you read the governor's statement, houses of worship are still exempt. But we want to do the right thing. And we don't want people to get the wrong impression. You know, what do those Baptists think? They're above the law. You know, we don't want them to think that. But we're church-going people, and we love it. And you talk about a conflicted man. It's me. For 40 years, I've been preaching here at Fundamental Baptist Church. You got to be faithful. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Preaching the Bible and just kind of pushing that and preaching that all of the time. And this week, every time I got a phone call, every time I got a text, Pastor, are we supposed to come to church on Sunday? Do you want us to come? I said, and every time I had to answer them, no, stay home, watch it on live stream. It was killing me. Every time I said it, 40 years of pumping, you know, be faithful to God, be faithful to church, be faithful to church attendance. That's what God desires. And I just want to like echo what Pastor Josh said. This is temporary. And we're going to assemble again. And the church is a called out assembly. God intends the church to congregate. But today I'm thanking God for live stream. Revelation in chapter 22. 2 weeks ago, I shared an illustration, and it's just coming to my mind right now while we were singing. It came to my mind several times because I'm preaching the last chapter of the book of the Bible. I thought, man, that's a very appropriate illustration. I should have used it this week. I said, but I didn't know it. You know, I didn't know how things were going to go. But so let me just kind of rehearse it real quickly. It was an old preacher, man. He used to stand up and preach and tell about the old days. And it was like the early 1900s. And he said he'd go to the dime store and he'd buy dime store novels. That'll kind of tell you what time of era of U.S. history it was. And he said he'd bring that dime store novel back to his house and he'd climb up to the loft in their little cabin. And up in the loft, he had a little bed and he had a coal lantern lit with coal oil. And he'd read this dime store novel, and inevitably, almost every night, his mom would yell upstairs, "Johnny, it's time to turn out the coal light. Your father works hard for that coal oil." And he'd yell back down, "But Mama, I'm right to the best part right now. Right now, I'm to the best part. The bad guy's got the damsel in distress, and he's tying her to the railroad tracks, and the train is coming. Can I just read just five more minutes?" And she'd say, "Okay, just five more minutes." He knew he didn't have enough time to read the book, so he'd go turn to the last chapter of the novel, and he'd read the good guy had come to the rescue, and I'm at the last chapter here this morning. Revelation in chapter 22. Here's what I want to tell you before I start. The good part's just about to happen right now. We're coming to the best part right now. I'm talking about in church history. This could be the church's finest hour. This is the opportunity to win people to Christ that before were not ready to receive Christ. I've received messages of people leading people to the Lord that were not open to the gospel before this happened. And now this week they've gotten saved. I led a man to the Lord this week. What a privilege it is to lead people to Christ. We had people saved here last Sunday. My glory to God. This could be the church's finest hour. Don't cower in fear. Again, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Man, don't get in your house and get all shut up and not reach out with the gospel. Think outside the box. Get the gospel to people. People will come to Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ is God's idea. He ordained it. He ordered it. Here we are in this 2,000 years of the church age, just before the rapture of the church. And we want to be a full service. Remember those full service gas stations? He'd pull up, the little bell would ring, the guy would come out. Sometimes he'd come out in a uniform. He'd be wiping oil or gas off of his, he'd always seem to have a rag in his hand. And he'd say, what can I do for you? He'd say, fill her up or give me $2 or what. Isn't it wonderful to have $1.85 gas right now? Yeah, fill her up. And it was a full service station. They'd wash your windshield. Some of you younger people don't even have any idea what I'm talking about. They'd wash the windshield, they'd lift the hood, they'd check the oil, they'd do whatever needs to be done. And we're a full service church. This is our opportunity. Get the gospel to people. That is the normal thing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So I'm ready to preach. And it's weird. There are about 25 people in the auditorium. 500-seat auditorium scattered everywhere. And it really is weird to preach to empty pews. Last Sunday's message was simple. This is not the tribulation. This morning's message, I want to give you some timeless truths for times of trouble. And I don't care about it being a fancy title for a message. I want to give you four things that you can hang on to. Next week is Palm Sunday. The week after that is Resurrection Sunday. So those kind of messages will be along that line. If this goes on any length, well, even if it does go on any length of time, I'm going to preach some messages out of the book of Revelation later in the month of April. And I trust that God is going to bless. Would you stand with me out of respect for God's word? If you're at home, you don't need to stand. I told you in Sunday school, don't get used to this. Going to church in your pajamas, that ain't going to cut it, right? We're going to come back together. Verse 22, verse 1 of chapter 22. This is the apocalypse or the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the very last chapter of the book. The previous chapter gives us some of the structure of heaven. That's not my message. That can be another message. We read about the kingdom here in chapter 22. We read about his return, the return of Christ, the battle of Armageddon here in chapter 22. And we read about an invitation that the Spirit and the bride, they say, come. If you're listening this morning and you are not born again, you need Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right now, today, this is your moment. Perhaps in these next several moments will be your God-conscious moment where you have an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior. Oh, I invite you to the Savior. It says in verse 1, says, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. This is millennial kingdom. From the throne of God is like a boulevard, and on both sides of the river is the tree of life. Verse 3 says, and there shall be no curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. God will be there. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. You understand the curse of man, the curse upon the earth, because man disobeyed God in the garden. That curse was placed on this earth and upon creation, upon man, and it's going to be lifted during that time. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Man, he was awestruck. As John is, these things are showed to John, he is overwhelmed. He's in the presence of God. There's an angel there, and he falls down at the feet of the angel. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. I love these two words. Worship God. Amen. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. God, we pray your blessing upon the word of God and my feeble attempts to preach it. Lord, would you help me not to cloudy it up or muddy it up and not say the wrong thing. Instead, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would be our preacher this morning and you'd give to your children understanding. And God, you'd build our faith and encourage. And Lord, if there's someone listening that is not born again, and I'm sure that is the truth, Lord, may they understand that you sent your son to this earth to die in their place. And all they've got to do is accept the finished work of the cross. Trust Christ as their Savior, and they too can be born again and born anew into the family of God and know for sure that they're going to heaven. We pray for your power and your anointing and your direction in this message this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. About 2 weeks ago, Pastor Bill told me, come into the church, and he was laughing. Actually, it was one of the early morning classes at Maplewood Baptist Academy. He said, Pastor Rader, I saw a man driving down I-75, and he was talking on a smartphone and drinking smart water and driving a smart car. Boy, did he look stupid. And Bill thought that was real funny. And actually, when I tell a joke, people usually laugh. But there's nobody here. That brings me to something. Brings me to an idea I've got. And if I could get Jeff to make me a series of buttons up here where I can push a button and have a laugh tracks. So when I say something funny, people laugh. Or even an amen button or a praise God button. That would be wonderful. That thought came to me last week, but we weren't on the air last week. So I share that with you this morning. As a people of God, sometimes even people of God look stupid. The people of this earth, of course, without an anchor and without God, we sometimes are futile attempts to live a life of fulfillment without God. It's absolutely foolish. And then something like this comes along. And keep it in perspective, by the way, my Christian brother and sister, this is not the end of the world. And this is not the tribulation. And we're not suffering like the bubonic plague where people are dropping dead by the thousands in our locale and they pile the bodies and burn them. That's what happened during the bubonic plague. That's not what we are experiencing. Maybe the worst thing that could happen, who knows where it's going to go, would be an economic collapse in America. And I want you to know I'm pretty excited because I know that these are the very last days. And I know that Jesus Christ is coming soon. And no man knows the day or the hour. And I think I preached that last Sunday morning. And if you just look at the history of man, biblically speaking, this world's about 6,000 years old. We got 4,000 years of Old Testament history, 2,000 years of New Testament history, or the church age, and then 1,000 years of the millennial kingdom. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. That's 7,000 years. So if we got 4,000 years of Old Testament history, that's recorded. That's accurate. 4,000 years of Old Testament history, the history of man, and now we got 2,000 years that make up the church age, 1,000 years for the millennial kingdom. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. 6 days of creation, seventh day of rest. Man, we're there. We're right at the end. I don't know if we're at the very end. This occurred to me. I'm not setting a date, but this occurred to me in the middle of the night this week. If the church age is going to last about, approximately, and you've got to allow for human error in our calendar, 2,000 years. Historians tell us that Jesus was crucified AD 30 or AD 33, somewhere right in there. And the day of Pentecost, 50 days after that, that's when the church is born. And the church is going to last about 2,000 years, allowing human error, then we're talking 2030 or 2033. I don't know that, and we've got to allow human error several years in both directions. I'm just saying again, Jesus is coming soon. I'm excited because I'm looking for the blessed hope, our soon return of Christ. When the Apostle John got to the end of the book of Revelation, we're going to read it here in just a moment, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Man, that's my heart. I'm born again. As far as I know, my kids are born again. My grandchildren are born again. I'm looking for the soon return of Christ. And if you're running around like a chicken with its head cut off and you're panicking and fretting and rubbing your maybe it's because all your loves are in things. And you can hold the things of your life as tight as you want in your hands. They are temporary. But for the church of Jesus Christ, for those who are born of the Son of God, born of the Holy Spirit into the family of God. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. The best is yet to come. Heaven is just over the hilltop. That it's just around the corner. It's just through that next door. The fact is, we're at the end of the church age, and it's time for the church to be the church of Jesus Christ. So get encouraged as a child of God and start evangelizing. Start winning souls to Christ. What opportunities we have. People are wide open to the gospel. And if you're someone, again, you're rubbing your hands together and you're fretting of what's going to happen. Hey, as far as I'm concerned, the worst that could happen, what's the worst? I catch some disease and go to heaven. If that's the worst that can happen, I'm good with that. The U.S. government, the U.S. economy crashes this summer. I'm not saying that's going to happen, and I hope it doesn't happen. What's the worst that can happen? We lose our things. But if that's what it takes to bring revival to the church of Jesus Christ, just before Jesus returns, I say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. Back in Revelation and chapter 22, Just some simple thoughts here this morning. Verse 9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which worship the sayings of this book. Here's the sermon, worship God. The fact is, timeless truths, there is one God. One. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That Hebrew word is Elohim. It is a singular term for a team. By the way, that's Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Same chapter, let us make man in our own image. Who's the us? Who's the our? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Don't let the cults tell you anything different. I can prove to you the Trinity all over the Bible. All over the Word of God. So understand this, but he's one God. Monotheism. Take your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus in chapter 20. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel. Monotheism. It's a sorry God that you have to carry around in your pocket. It's a sorry God that you have to defend because he's not able to defend himself. It's a sorry man-made God that can't answer prayers. It's a sorry man-made God that cannot give peace in your heart. Monotheism, one God, first commandment. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Monotheism. Over 200 names for God, descriptions of God in Holy Writ. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord provideth. Jehovah Shalom. There's over 200 of them to describe the one single God that we worship. Jehovah means the existing one. Yahweh, the existing one. That's the God that we worship. Moses said, who do I say sent me when I go to stand before Pharaoh? And God told Moses, say, I am that I am. He is the self-sufficient God. Here's a timeless truth that you can hang on to. I know there's all kinds of messages. There's all kinds of false prophets. There's all kinds of religions. There's so many religions and so many isms and so many wasms, and people just don't know what to believe anymore. There is one God. He's the God of Israel. He's the God. He is the head of the church of Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus, the second person of the Godhead. Monotheism. One God. He's not a piece of jewelry. He's not a box that you carry around and open. What kind of God do you carry? Just think about that. The living God. The angel said to John, don't worship me. Worship God. Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand, or the time is near. In the book of Daniel, if you've been studying and reading the book of Daniel like we've been doing as a church, in the month of March, in the book of Daniel, you'll remember that God, through the angel, told Daniel, seal up the book. There are things I don't want others to understand yet. Now we get to the book of Revelation. It's the church age. It's the end of the church age. And the book of Revelation is complete. So the book, Holy Writ, the 66 books that make up the Word of God, it's complete. And the angel tells John, who is writing this, don't seal it up because the end is near. Man, shout it from the housetops. We have one book. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. Man, it is of God. Take your Bibles and turn over to Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 1. 2 Peter and chapter 1. And we're going to read of an event that took place in Peter's life that is powerful, and I trust that it'll speak to your heart. Oh, I'll get to 2 Peter. I'm in 1 Peter. 2 Peter in chapter 1, verse 17. For he received of God the Father honor and glory, talking about the Mount of Transfiguration, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Okay, let me give you the background here very quickly, because we've got one God and we've got one book. I want you to understand that. One book. And Peter refers to the time he saw and he was there on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, oh, it was a glorious sight. I never saw anything like it. Never heard anything like it. And they were in the presence of the glory of God. And Peter says this by way of inspiration right now in 2 Peter. He says, as good as that experience was, we as human beings tend to exaggerate and tend to forget details that are important. He said, there is an authority in my life that is more important than any experience. And that authority is the Bible. There's an authority in our lives that is more important than any of our emotions, any of the fads of the day, more important than the culture, and that is the Bible. He says in verse 18, "And this voice which came from heaven we heard." That's the voice of God the Father. "And we when we were with him in the Holy Mount." But now verse 19, he kind of switches gears here. The tenor changes. You can see he's getting excited. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Bible, Peter says, Bible over personal experience. You ever hear people say that? "Well, I know what I experienced." Well, I don't know what you experienced. And the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You may not even know what you experienced. But there's a surety. There's an anchor in this life. That's the Bible. God gave to us a book. God gave to us a book that has authority. He didn't leave us alone here in this world. We have one God. And he gave to us one book. And this is another message altogether. And I thank God for every gospel message that is preached, no matter what weak translation it is preached out of. I thank God for any soul that gets saved. But the truth is, we are textus receptus people here. We believe, we don't take our Bible from the manuscripts that come from corrupted manuscripts. The textus receptus, the majority text, and the King James Bible is the only Bible that comes from that family of manuscripts. It's another sermon. You can get truth out of other versions. The truth is there, just like the truth is found in Bible tracts and commentaries. You can get those truths. But the King James Bible, God preserves his word, and he's preserved it for the English-speaking people. We got one book. One book, and I thank God for it. And by the way, this is a Bible-centric ministry. We are not denominational. I'm going to preach on that right now in a hot minute. But first of all, I'll say this. We're not about following men. The Bible is our sole authority. We got programs, but we've got the Bible. We've got music, but we've got the Bible. We got problems. Oh, do we have problems? But we've got the Bible. It's an anchor that God has given to us. And he tells us, man, you can count on that. You can. The Bible was not written to satisfy man's spiritual curiosity. It's our anchor. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable. It is authentic, it's authoritative, and it's absolute. We have an answer book, and I thank God for that. And we can look to that for leadership, even in times where, man, things are confusing. We got the book. I'm so glad we've got the book. One God, one book. Hey, one church. Denominations, I hope this doesn't hurt anybody's feelings, but I've never yet seen a denomination that didn't stray from the truth. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone onto his own way. Thank God, thank God, thank God that we have a Bible that we can follow. And our headquarters is heaven. There's the church of Jesus Christ. Acts in chapter 22 and I think it's verse 28 speaks of the church being purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. And he has ordained New Testament local churches all over the world, all over the planet. And they reproduce themselves. And it's been going on for 2,000 years. And God placed the ball in our hands, the church of Jesus Christ. And we're to get the gospel out. We've got our mandate. We've got the Great Commission. We're to share the gospel with the whole world. People that want to hear it and people that don't want to hear it. We're the light that reflects the light of Jesus to this world. We're that city that is set on a hilltop. We're to keep the lights on. I've said this. We have never canceled church at Fundamental Baptist Church. Never, ever in the history of the church. It could be a 60 below day with horizontal snow and nobody can, zero visibility. And I tell our people, just like I'm telling them right now, don't risk your life. But I'm going to be here. And we're going to have church if it's just me and Deb. And sometimes it might be good that I preach to only Deb and Deb alone. I've got some things I want to get on about that. But the fact is, the light is always going to be on. This is the church's finest hour. You got to know that. One God, one book, one church. And by the way, the church from day one has thrived through war, pestilence, poverty, and persecution. Man, sometimes that's what makes the church its greatest. They recognize God. You know, if God took away all our things this summer, all of our possessions, all of our jet skis, let me name some things that I don't have, all of our motorcycles, all of your nice clothes, all of our nice clothes, if he took it all away, you know what happened? We'd have to depend on God. It'd be the best thing to ever happen to the family of God. It'd be the best thing to ever happen to the church. But you know what? No matter what, we can be the Philadelphia church. Great opportunity. One more thing I want to share this morning. Go back again to Revelation and chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And let me pick up reading with verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. This is Jesus. And my reward is with me. Church is already with him, if you know eschatology. To give every man according to his work, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega, more names for God, beginning and end. Hebrew or Greek alphabet, A to Z. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the eternality of our one God. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. And the spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him come. Let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Let me stop there for just a moment. And maybe we won't get any further than this. But you need to understand this. The church is going to come out of the other side of whatever is before us in days in front of us. Bigger, better, and stronger. We'll be closer to God. Understand this, we have a lifeline. His name is Jesus. He's the Savior. You will not go to God's heaven without God's Son. It will not happen that you will get there by your own good deeds and your own righteousnesses. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. You and I need the righteousness of the Son of God. The imputed righteousness of Jesus. That comes when a sinner repents in his heart and calls out to God and asks God to save him and to forgive him. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Remember the publican outside the temple, and Jesus said, he left justified. You will not go to God's heaven without God's Son. He that hath the Son hath life. You need Jesus. You need to be born again. If you don't know, if you die right now, you died today, you died this week, this year, you don't know whether you'd go to heaven or not, I invite you to the Savior now. I invite you to pray the sinner's prayer from your heart and ask God to save you. And I'm going to help you. Man, I'm going to help you. I'm going to tell you the kind of words you got to say in your heart. And you can pray silently in your heart. And you just pray and you mean it. And it's not a show. And you pray directly to God. Maybe you're the only one in the living room. You can pray out loud. God will hear you whether the prayer is silent or whether it's out loud. But you just pray like this from your heart. Because it's got to be a heart thing. It's not a religious thing. Just pray from your heart. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a broken man, broken woman. I know I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me? Would you come into my heart and be my personal Savior? Jesus, I'm trusting you alone for heaven. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, now, you at home, if you prayed and you asked Christ into your heart, you got to tell somebody about it. Maybe somebody right there in your household. Maybe call me up. Call the church. Tell somebody. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. You got to know so salvation. You tell somebody what you did and how you received Jesus alone as your Savior.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.